Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Hey, welcome, welcome, everybody. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am Caroline Rutterman, your host. And today we are interviewing Michael Schreiber, who is a business coach. And, you know, when we're talking about bringing health and wellness to ourselves and to the world around us, sometimes healing can take shape in all different types of ways, and that includes to our business and to our livelihood and to, you know, different ways that we're trying to bring our message and health and goodness to the world around us. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we can do that through business coaching. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Michael Schreiber. I am a business coach. That surprises me, too. I started actually as an actor in New York. Everyone asked me to coach other actors. It seemed very natural, now looking back at it, to progress from being an actor to coaching actors in the craft of acting, helping people, especially younger people, to be more vulnerable and tell a better, more clear, more craft-oriented story. Those actors then wanted jobs, so I ended up starting to coach the business of acting, helping them figure out how they could differentiate themselves and then consistently promote themselves in the marketplace. The actors that came to me started getting older. They started asking for help with speaking. It led to now I coach businesses. After many different iterations of my own practice, I have clients now a lot that are coaches. They're looking to build speaking into their business. They are creative. They have many different talents that they're trying to make sense of in a way that they can enjoy their livelihood more. I somehow mysteriously have found a practice helping those kinds of people.
That's really, really cool. And that kind of makes sense because you yourself are a very creative person, having the background in theater and in acting. How does your training as an actor inform your kind of public speaking, how you interact with people? How does that kind of creative training inform the business side of things for you now?
Oh, that's an interesting question, how the creative training informs the business side. One aspect is respecting craft. As an actor, I became very interested in what do I have to do for my instrument, my vocal instrument, my emotional instrument, my physical instrument to be able to better tell a story. So many times young actors get in their way because they push up against vulnerabilities of telling bigger and bigger stories because it's uncomfortable emotionally. Same thing with business owners. Business owners who are wanting to implement something new into their practice, into their livelihood, even a new offering to the world. Talking more about service businesses usually. They don't know that they have the capacity to claim that. Everyone feels like, oh, if I just had one more certification, if I just learned a little bit more about something that I don't know. Where a lot of times they are in a perfect place to help the people that they can help.
Yes.
So the awareness of vulnerability that was cultivated through being a performer, having to go through that because acting did not come naturally to me at all. Then working with young actors who are all going through those same vulnerable aspects and learning to develop my sensibilities of what is it about this particular person in front of me that will help open them up to what's possible. All of that feels essential for working with business owners who sometimes want their business to look different than a job that they've created for themselves because they feel like they have more to give. They can have it look different than other models they may have for other businesses. I think anyone that is pursuing a practice professionally that demands some creativity and being good at the craft of what they do, anyone who is interested in their own growth and knowing that they want to continue to not only get better at their business, but better at their art, those are the people that I most enjoy working with. And that is where the creative background studying theater really comes into play.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. I want to loop back around because you touched on quite a few really big subjects there when you're talking about vulnerability and when you're talking about kind of where you are as a business owner and where you want to be and all these different topics. But let's break it down. What is business coaching? Let's lay out the basics. What does that look like for your work with other people?
I think of business coaching as helping people to get results in their professional lives.
Results meaning?
Usually it means business growth.
Okay.
Often clients will come to me thinking that they want to build business. We end up either changing the business in some fundamental ways at times, working on many personal and emotional things that are going on in their lives that are distracting them from building their business. So when I think about getting results, coaching to me, if we imagine a continuum, that on one end of the continuum is therapy, and on the far other side of the continuum is consulting. I think of consulting as getting a project done almost for you, that the consultant comes in and does a very specific task that they're really specialized to do. Coaching falls somewhere in the middle of those things. Not that there's too much hands-on doing, but instead of it just being therapy where we're talking about things, we're looking at how can we remove any blocks from deciding very clearly what has to be done so that we can get to getting that done and having the growth experience that you're setting out to have. So what is business coaching in that way, besides where it sits on that continuum? If I'm breaking it down into the work that we do, getting really clear is important. So clarity would be one massive pillar. Strategy is a second. What actions are most effective right now to help me get where I want to go? A third thing is skill building. Oftentimes I can help people get better at what they need to get better at, but if I can't help them, then let's have a plan for developing a skill that would really move the needle in your business. If there's a lot of leverage in, for example, you're a Reiki practitioner that at one point learned how to host a radio show.
Absolutely.
So it was a skill that I could either help you with or develop a plan with you to help you grow your practice, your influence in the community. Also, we work with people on optimizing their environment. If the environment is working against them having the success that they want to have, whether it's a mental environment, the people in the environment, or the physical environment, we'll certainly look at that. Perhaps where we spend the most time, though, is mastering psychology. Mm. Having a sense of, I can have the business that I want to have. Here's how I approach my day in sets of practices, having different learning experiences, being strategic in how I spend money to invest in my business, perhaps, but recognizing that I have to have a healthy approach to my business. Mm. The other thing that comes up is healing work.
Yeah. So of the things that you kind of just touched on, these kind of bigger concepts, you talked about clarity, you talked about sort of, you know, really knowing what you wanted to get, what you want to have, the strategy of the action steps, how to get there, the psychological component. What do you feel like is the biggest challenge that you see people running into?
I think the biggest challenges depend on the maturity of the business, usually.
Maturity of the business meaning?
Well, so businesses have a life cycle just like anything else does. Hmm. In the beginning, it takes some time, especially, again, talking about creative businesses, right? When we've talked a little bit, we've got to talk about your business. You're very clear that it's about Reiki.
Yeah.
So it's not Reiki mixed with other things necessarily, although you do bring in your whole set of talents.
Of course, my many talents.
Your many talents, of course. A lot of people have trouble getting to it's just Reiki.
Right.
Sometimes getting to a niche is what people really need help with because they're creative, because they have different talents. Maybe even because they are, they've outgrown or find that they can't grow the way that they want to with the limited ways that people with their specific modality are often pigeonholed into doing business. Okay, so a guitar lesson has, we think of a guitar lesson costing so much. And if it's way out of range of that, then it's, we don't understand that. We say, well, that's way too much, unless you're working with some famous guitarist or something,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
So we find different ways to help the business be profitable. Sometimes it's, I'm getting a little bit off topic here, as I tend to like to wander
it's
as
okay,
well.
I'll rope you back in if I need to.
Rope me back in if you need to. Yeah. So one in an early stage business, niching is something that we really will work to get very clear on so we can move forward specifically. Sometimes when people are very clear on that, they need help pricing their services effectively. Sometimes it's the sales process. How do I communicate my value to other people so that they can join me to work with me for 6 months? Because I know if I want to help them get results, I need them to commit to a process.
A little bit of a longer time.
Yeah. So how do I communicate that? Because if I want them to commit to a longer process as well as invest in themselves at a higher level so that I can do it, then communicating that becomes a skill that we can work on.
So, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters, and we are talking here today with a business coach, Michael Schreiber, and of michaelschreiber.com. And, you know, you as you're kind of talking about working on things as a process, working over a longer period of time, you know, I think that it's really interesting because people's ideas and their belief systems don't change that quickly. I mean, they can. I believe fully that anything can change in an instant. But typically, it takes a little while to peel back those layers. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that I believed that money needs to be earned this way or this way or this way. And, you know, it's kind of as you start peeling back those kind of belief systems and those ideas that we hold about money, about business, or whatever it is, that stuff starts exposing itself.
Absolutely. Things open up, things fall away. So many people think, well, if I'm going to earn money, then it can't be fun. It can only look this way. We have very limited, for whatever reason, socialization, some kind of conditioning comes in that we accept at some point along the way. That becomes a limiting belief. So the more that we can identify those things and really ask, is that true? Then we can start to transcend that. With businesses at every level, I think we hit these different plateaus for whatever reason. I mentioned really quickly that healing comes into it. So while I'm not doing specifically energy work, in some ways I am, but not it's not Reiki, certainly.
You have a background.
I certainly have a background in all of those things that also plays into everything I do. How could it not? Just as the background in theater that you mentioned before has many benefits to working with business owners. With healing, when we can identify a limiting belief, then the opposite idea or challenging that belief can often cause an emotional response. Just the recognition of that, then being able to feel where that happens in the body, then we can work with it over time. Maybe it's something that just the recognition of it is enough to shape it differently immediately. Maybe we can apply different energetic techniques. Maybe it's something we check in with that releases itself over time and creates whole new possibilities that are available.
I like that. That's really, really cool. That's healing right there. You know, it's allowing kind of those physical blocks to, you know, be softened and opening up and releasing around something that's so important, like creating our livelihood or, you know, creating, differentiating ourselves in a really saturated market, you know, like you were talking about with acting and that kind of thing. So
I think there's so many people that are very creative and have a sense that I would like to make money doing this thing that I love. But for whatever reasons, they've decided that that's not available. That's what I like to challenge the most, is that can we find a really clear idea about how you want to help people, get really creative about whole new models of what that could look like.
Of how business can be fun.
Of how it can be fun and playful. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been through that myself. It's why in all the different ways that I work with people, I find myself as a business coach, because I've certainly had pain around getting into things in my professional life that were merely opportunistic, or that was simply time for money in a way that I didn't feel like myself at my job.
Yeah.
I would then leave. I would find a way out of there because it didn't quite feel right.
Yeah.
So now, even as I'm continuing to grow, certainly, I feel aligned with my work in a way that I don't have to be someone else in my business or in my practice in any way.
Absolutely.
And that feels really good. That feels healing to me.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of other people that are in that same place, that it hurts to have to be doing something that doesn't any longer feel aligned, whether it's in their own business or in some other professional endeavor.
So do you have a specific, what does business coaching look like? Do you meet with people in person? Is it over the phone? When you talk about having a longer process with people, on a just day-to-day basis, what does your working relationship look like with a client?
Sure. Usually over the phone, with some kind of a weekly or twice monthly structure.
Okay.
I like to meet with people once a week at a consistent time. The phone is actually very effective. I've seen different articles, different things about there's a safe distance on the phone versus in person. Number one, for me, in person would negate working with clients all over the world.
Right. You can work with anyone, anywhere.
So for me, I think it's important to set my own schedule in a way that I like to have days that are full of coaching. I also want to model to clients that you can set it up in ways that work for you. So the boundaries that I've created in my business, meet with people every week at a certain time. Then I like to also be available to them, because sometimes things come up between our weekly sessions. So what I often do is provide email access in between, where if they email me, I'll get back to them quickly. The way that I'll, a little hack that I found to do that is, instead of writing them back, which takes longer, I'll make a voice memo and send that back to them. A lot of clients will find that to be really effective, because I can answer something in my extended, nuanced way verbally that would take me a really long time to get down into writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's then helping people to ask really specific questions. So what that looks like in the start of a process when we decide to work together, there's the kind of an onboarding where it's more of getting to know someone and really making sure that you can help them, then deciding that, having an intake process to get all the information I can for my creative mind. I want to know everything that we're working with. I had a client once tell me that they had this big publicity thing that had happened years ago that was really relevant, that I would have loved to know when we first started working together. So I corrected my intake process to gather all those assets. Again, I'm leaving a little bit from your question, but basically it's a weekly phone call.
Yeah.
And then the email access in between to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot. Really, what brought you into doing this work? I know you talked a little bit about wanting to kind of help other actors, but what was the juicy stuff inside of that really kind of drew you to continuing to do this work to help other people grow and distinguish themselves?
You just said it with growth, watching other people grow. When it started, well, it started for me with coaching kids in acting. What's amazing about kids and why that experience was so valuable is because children have a capacity to grow really quickly, sometimes all at once. If they are being challenged, they're having fun, they're being listened to. So I really had to do a lot of work of breaking them down that this is not a class, I do not have a red pen. But once they felt that I wasn't trying to pretend I was an expert or anything, that we were just interested in the truth, that they could have fun and really be themselves, their growth could be really profound. It was interesting for me then for that work to get more sophisticated and to start working with adults who can also grow. There's no limit on growth. I think on average, it tends to be slower than kids who are just sponges, but that doesn't mean that we don't have the same capacity for it to be as fast as possible. I'm all about efficiency and speed when we have it. Why not?
And little kids don't have that same, they don't have the same blocks and the same belief systems that we do.
Yeah,
they don't have as much experience where they don't, they know, you know, this is a failure. This is what this means. It's, they just go for it.
They do. They don't have it all piled on. That's what I started to say. Where we've taken on so much, I feel so much that I'm undoing things that I've learned over time.
Yeah.
And helping others do the same too. So it's that growth fascination. I think one reason that my business has evolved in different iterations is because I'm always looking for and needing a growth edge for myself. Mm. That if I don't feel that I'm being challenged in my work, that it just isn't interesting anymore.
Sure.
So I'm always looking for what's deeper here? What's something that's more profound for me to be engaged in? How can I make more difference for more people, or a lot more difference for one person? Maybe it's a little difference for many, many people, or a big difference for many, many people. How can we keep accelerating those things in ways that change and stay interesting to me?
Yeah. What are some of the belief systems that you feel like you've rooted out as you've been growing your own business? I know. Wow. That's kind of a big question. I know. And if it's a vulnerable place, I tend to kind of poke a little bit sometimes because I interview people. So,
well, that's why we're here. If I'm not willing to be poked, I'm in the wrong place.
So I guess if you feel comfortable, whatever you feel comfortable sharing in your own personal process of the things that belief systems that have come up for you, that you've had to kind of pinpoint and weed out and hold space for in the way that you were talking about earlier.
This is a little bit different than the question that you asked, but it was what started it for me was how awkward I was. So it wasn't necessarily a belief system, but I felt a need to hide in certain ways.
I think that's a belief system.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct belief. I guess the belief was that I wasn't able to just take up space in a way.
Yeah.
So when I first started studying acting, my first acting teacher, Adam Hill, who's still a very good friend of mine, he's for many years now, since college. A lot of college friends are former professors, it turns out. Anyway, Adam said to me point blank one day, he said, "Look, when you walk, you swing your arms at your elbows. That's weird. You don't need to do that. But it's okay. It's the result of tension because of you're holding tension in your body in a way that's producing this Jar Jar Binks kind of walk."
That's hilarious.
It is funny. It's also a lot of people, if we just watch people walk around the streets of any town, have little quirks that they've picked up because on some level they're holding on to something.
Of course.
When I was told that I swung my arms at my elbows, I started paying attention to the rest of my body and seeing where I was holding on tension. It became a search to root out other physical tensions, emotional tension things. My voice was placed very weird in my body, kind of in the break. So my voice has a lot more resonance than it did then. These were things that directly affected how I carried myself through the world. Because I rooted those things out, I think it's led to a lot of different experiences. I'm willing now to be vulnerable and say yes to different opportunities that maybe I couldn't before. It was starting that process in my early 20s, recognizing that there were a lot of things that I had taken to be true that just weren't, that opened up my ability to experience life much differently.
So you feel like some of the vulnerabilities that of critique from others was influential in you opening yourself up?
Yes, I do. I'll take as much credit as I'll give to others because I was willing to listen and to address it. I say that not to pat myself on the back as much as to also give others the responsibility that I took for doing those things. Because I think it's very easy to inherit an idea or purpose even from other well-meaning people. another quick little story.
Of course, like our parents.
Like our parents.
That's how we learn to navigate the world. They're the first person, usually the first people that we have contact with.
Absolutely.
Our caregivers.
So it's funny, I'm going back to college to answer these questions. My very first advisor, when I was an undecided freshman, said, take music 101 because you're not an artist. You'll get these 3 credits out of the way for your liberal arts degree. When you decide what your major is, then you won't have to worry about taking that class. I listened at that point. Then I graduated with a theater degree, having taken a photography class, a ceramics class. I got those 3 credits out of the way so many times.
Sure.
And I wasted my time in Music 101 at the well-meaning advice of that advisor. Many times, though, I could have taken I'm Not an Artist from this one person who meant well at a very impressionable age in college and accepted that as truth for my whole life. Oftentimes, people do for whatever reason and then realize it years later. So that was a belief that I had, which was more to that original question, that I had to find my way around, where now I think of myself as everything that I do in life, that there's artistry to it. It's important for me to get better at that artistry, just like it's important for me to get better at business, just like it's important for me to continue my sense of growth every day.
Hmm.
If I'm doing that in specifically in artistry as well as business, as well as health, everything. But that's how I look at success too, is am I continuing to get better today than I was yesterday? And is the level at which sometimes I'm awful, is that getting better? When I'm at my worst, is my worst better than my worst was a year ago?
That's really interesting. I was going to ask you how you define success, and so you're saying that it's your growth. It's am I getting better than I was yesterday?
Sure, healthier in my physical body, healthier financially, healthier emotionally. I think a lot of times about being generally at peace. One area that I could say I've certainly been successful is that. Now, I've never been someone to have a big temper. But it's at least more difficult, not that I'm challenging anyone at all, but more difficult to get under my skin. Things that would have affected me, judgmentalisms, all the human things that we all have, I find myself less affected by those things. In some ways, I'm also more specific about the quality of what it is that I try to create at every opportunity.
Hmm.
But when things don't align with my inherent value system, I can accept it with compassion much more easily because of the willingness to do the work necessary and making that important over many years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have so long to go. It's an infinite process. It's not that I've really accomplished much, but the growth is evident, which is why that's what feels successful to me.
Yeah. So how do you help clients define success for themselves? When I think of success, when I hold myself up to my own success, it's always financial. I think when I'm successful, as I'm growing more and more successful, there's a direct connection to the money that's in my bank. You know, so it's a slightly different definition, but that's really what holds true for me. But how do you help people kind of shape that idea for themselves, that definition of success for themselves?
Well, I think that I'm often working with people who have an idea of what success is, but for whatever reason, they just want the support getting there. When we start to work at it, that idea often evolves of what success is, or something new can emerge. I think that, just to go back, since you used yourself as an example, it wouldn't occur to me to think of you as only feeling successful when the number in the digital ether world was at a certain level.
But when I'm thinking of success within that framework of that word,
mm-hmm.
That's my association. That's my belief around that. It's very specific to a monetary success.
I think that's completely okay. I think that anyone who's doing healing work in the world or any creative work in the world, first of all, creativity for me has, it's inherently healing, because I think that a truly self-expressed person is doing something to open themselves up in ways that can only be letting go of things that don't belong. And there's healing work for the individual. I think being that example for others can only have a healing effect on anyone who's experiencing pure, sincere, creative work. Okay. Especially if the intentions are aligned, if someone's creativity is malintentioned, then that's a totally different story. And there's something unhealthy going on. Right. But generally creativity is a healing process in many ways in itself. So now getting back to bring me back a little bit. Help me stay focused on this.
Yeah. So I was just talking about how, you know, my belief system, how I define success is around money. And you were like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, so if you are being creative and doing the things that matter to you, then it's also important that you set up structures whereby more money can come in so that you continue to nourish yourself and feel self-expressed. Sometimes the creative person will think that their creativity or their healing work, because it comes naturally to them, doesn't have value. So then even though they're making a great difference for people, they aren't able to take good care of themselves. And we have that starving artist syndrome happen.
Right.
So that's why it's having an understanding that not only can I be creative and self-expressed, but I can do so in a way that allows me to have all the tools at my disposal that I need to feel whole and complete.
Yeah. And that kind of brings it back to what you were talking about, that aspect of psychology that really impacts people when they're coming into the sphere of business, of, you know, business coaching and getting a little bit of help for what they're looking to do and what they're looking to bring out into this world.
Another aspect of that, of the same phenomenon, is that there's times when getting better at art necessitates stepping into the commercial world, because that's where the growth edge is for the individual. So sometimes people can be the best actor in their community theater, for example, but there's no money there. If that actor really has a desire to perform for more people with bigger audiences, they're probably looking at going into the professional world, which means getting paid. So if they want to experience the energetic give and take of a bigger audience with better production value behind it, there's pressure from being responsible to all the money matters in that. There's also an opportunity to become a better artist because of conducting more energy through the giving and receiving of financial exchange.
Of course.
With your art. So sometimes people can hide behind being a really good artist in a place with low stakes, whether it's something as directly creative as we think of acting being, or something more indirectly like a business that someone's running, that opening up to receiving more actually makes you more responsible and a better practitioner of whatever it is that you're doing.
Hmm. Individuals or businesses that have 5, 10, 15, 20 people, or do you tend to, like, what does a typical client look like?
The typical
or a
client,
typical business, I should say.
Sure. The typical client is an individual business owner. I also work with speakers and do some speaking. So there's times when I will have an audience very happily. I have also done things working with small groups of people at different times. Sometimes in person is relevant for that. Usually, though, it's an individual or the business owner of a company managing employees. So then the work becomes sometimes about team management, leadership development. There's all kinds of ways that that can contextualize. But generally, I do freelance for other organizations. One of them is about helping coaches build their business. Another one is about helping people build their business through speaking. So
definitely ties into your acting background.
Definitely,
and being
all
in front
of that
of a crowd.
Ties in very, 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 very much.
Yeah.
So the self-expressed, and anyone who is working with greater self-expression to bring profitability to their businesses, that's the wheelhouse generally.
How, you know, I just touched on it a moment ago about how personally I'm the type of person who I like to have my radio show. I have Reiki students. I have clients. I have, you know, other kind of hobbies and interests. And, you know, I kind of find a way to balance everything because I love everything that I do. But how does the professional and personal life and all of that kind of come into play with working with clients? Because I know that personal and professional can be a really big challenge when you're trying to grow into a business or expand your business when people are already really limited for time or kind of feel like they're already chopping things up in a really neat little category. So how can you tell us a little bit about how, I don't know, just some of your thoughts on that?
Sure. There's so many different things, but I think one important piece of that puzzle for me is about clients, that I want to spend time working with people that energize me. I think when we are running after money in the beginning of our business at times, we have to take on things that are less than ideal so that we can get to the next level and grow. We have to make sure that there's food on the table. At a certain point in the maturity of our businesses, we get really clear about who we like to work with. We then can be more selective about the things that we do. So if I'm working with people that I get to truly be myself, that I really enjoy working with and that energize me because the time we spend together feels good. I care about their mission. I'm interested in their business. They're committed to growth. They meet me halfway. They show up on time. All of those basic things.
Yeah.
Then I have more energy to do whatever marketing I'm doing, to continue to give to other people in my life. The other piece is having practices. The reason that I'm in Western Massachusetts is because I advise a nonprofit organization called the Shantigarh Foundation for creativity, meditation, and engagement with nature. So I spend a lot of time outside. The work that we do is a series of practices, including meditation, that allow me to keep that balance because I develop consistent practices over time. So it's actually a way, and essentially, I never really think of Shantigarh as a client because it's so much more familial than that for me.
Yeah.
But it's a way that I spend time with people that I really enjoy working with, that I believe in what they do, that it's become part of my life.
Yeah.
Because the rest of my business I've set up to be independent of location, I get to spend time at a place that I care so much about.
So in kind of framing this idea of doing things that energize us, working with people and clients that are showing up, are working with us as partners, what do we do when we have aspects of our life that are not energizing us and that are draining us, or that when we're kind of chasing that dollar within that moment, you know, like how do we find that balance? You know, because I think it's easy to see typically what we love and what we don't love, because we start procrastinating around the things that we don't want to do, or, you know, I mean, the wide range of things that can happen when we're not into something. But how do we find that balance?
I think one of the first steps has to be that we admit to ourselves that we are in a job or a business or a relationship or a situation of any kind that really doesn't nourish us. It's hard to admit sometimes because we get into a flow of life where, even though this is less than ideal and painful, I know how to survive in the structures that are set up. So then we get comfortable surviving there. We continue to do the things that we do to escape, whether it's a Netflix binge or a sugar binge or any other kinds of whatever the habits are.
Yeah, the distractions.
Distractions that are easily available but help us pad against those realities. If at the very least we can say, hey, this doesn't nourish me, this situation, then we can start to ask questions to see, how can I develop a plan to transcend this? What can I replace this with? What would be better instead?
How, as a business coach, as somebody who when somebody hires you to help them get into a different place of growth within their business, within their personal life, not specifically, I say that because I feel like they're so closely entwined as a solopreneur, that's all progression. As a business coach though, do you call people out on that? Because that's a big thing sometimes. It's like, this is draining you. How do you handle that?
Often it's not that I have to call them out on anything other than what they just told me.
Okay.
So if I can hear them say that or ask a few questions about something that they start talking about and suddenly their energy completely changes for whatever reason, then maybe I'll ask more questions, because I would much rather them tell me that this just isn't nourishing to me. Then I can say, okay, did you hear what you just said?
Yes. Yeah.
What else is available now? So I'll keep it in a way of asking questions, letting them reveal it. But when they do reveal it, if we decide that that's really true, then I might say, is that something you want to continue doing? Or are you open to finding something new that can replace that feeling? Is something better available?
Yeah.
Then we strategize to work towards it.
So how can people, we're just kind of coming into our last few minutes of the show, but how can people find you? How can they connect with you? Tell people how they can reach out.
MichaelSchreiber.com is the best way. From there, you can send me an email, or actually, for at least right now, schedule a 10-minute phone call where we can just talk to see if there's something in common that we want to explore more about working together. Michael is spelled as Michael is, MichaeL. I guess there are different spellings of that. My last name is Schreib, as in boy, E-R.
Nice. MichaelSchreiber.com. And that's excellent. Well, I'm really, really excited, because I think that you have so much knowledge and you have some glowing testimonials on your website too. It seems like you've really been helping a lot of people and bringing some goodness into your work and into the world around you. So that's, yeah, go check out his stuff, guys, because Michael's got a lot of really interesting things to say, and he has a wealth of information and support too, because I really genuinely feel that you want to see people succeed.
Absolutely. I do. I'm in the world with them. It's so much more interesting to me when everyone is doing really well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Caroline.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on Energy Matters today.
You're welcome.
Have a great evening, everyone.